talking in this statement, I'm most grateful to allow the voices of trans people heard within the LGBT community. Thank you very much. Because it's all a matter of invisibility, and I pick up what you said about invisibility. Just before I came out, I googled transsexual and asylum seekers and landed immediately on a porn site, which was number one on Google. So, and then I sifted through and there was virtually nothing there at all. So what I wanted to do this afternoon is to go through a human rights report and pick out particularly the issues around trans people. Because I think it's important and I want to make sure that voices of trans people around the world are recognised and heard, as I said. I shall talk about the Middle East, the Asian Pacific region of the world and Latin America. I chose to leave out Eastern Europe and Sub-Saharan Africa because I thought Sky would be much more qualified than this with a personal okay. Okay. I thought Sky would be far more qualified to give her personal experience than my kind of old thing. So that's why I left that out. I left out Eastern Europe because I'm sure people can fill in on that. And also, I wanted to cut down the presentation a bit. I'll then finish off by talking what I saw were the common issues right across the world for trans people. During the presentation, I'll take the opportunity to use my perspective as a trans woman living in the UK during the search for the things. So that's basically what I wanted to say. Just to start off, I thought it would be useful to just introduce some words forgive me if you've come across these before, but they all describe gender-varian people around the world. Sebasti, which is a Latin American term, primarily in Singapore. Trans is the current Western term which has described anybody as really gender doesn't fit into male or female exactly, or whatever. Pisla is the Indian term, but an ancient community of people who don't fit into the Indian system of male and female. Transsexual people is the correct term, if you want to do the best. And then the third gender or transgender people, third gender in particular, is the kind of romantic idea of people who don't conform right around the world. But the best is the North American Indian, Native Americans, and again a kind of third gender people. But it's very important you don't change our ideas of male and female into these cultures because they're very different. Finally, I often get asked what the intersex people are, what's up with being trans. I don't intend to talk greatly about intersex people, but basically intersex people are people who physically, their body, which is the upper, doesn't quite fit male and female. And actually, the incidence of that is about 1 in 100, which is quite high. And there are, I think, over 100 different reasons or conditions why that might happen. You might want to ask questions about that. Let's look at Middle East and North Africa. In Kuwait, between 2001 and 2004, the authorities arrested over a dozen for cross-dressing. When I was kind of looking at this, it seemed to me that the authorities are quite transphobic. I'll talk about that quite a bit throughout the presentation. One of the problems in the Middle East is internet access and networking. In the West, trans people have been greatly come on a lot and understood each other and been encouraged to come out a lot more because of internet access, particularly since the 1990s. So that is a big problem in the Middle East, particularly for poor people. Iran and Egypt are liberal, quite liberal towards gender reassignment, I understand, and documentation. But the problem again is there's a lot of police harassment and arresting of, and torture of trans people, even though the legislation is in place. And the other thing I left out there, which was the government censorship of the internet, is quite a big problem in the Middle East. One thing that I found quite interesting looking at this was that in the UK and in the West, we tend to focus on LGBT and sometimes trans rights, and to get legislation changed. But what I'm finding is around the world, we're in the minority. Most of these people are fighting for human rights, the right to freedom, not to be tortured, and those kind of things. I'll come back to that later. If the trans people in the Middle East are portrayed a bit better, there's a great need for translation of the Western websites to enable access. And I would argue this is true in the West as well, that there needs to be a great change in family capacity. Right, if I travel to Asia, Southeast Asia and the Pacific, the critical bit of legislation there is the Indian Sodomy Law, which is section 377, which essentially forbids anal sex because it's unnatural. I had a quick look again, and since this report is being written, there were two cases of men in India who have been typical of it, who's on this. So the section 377, which is the same kind of effect, I suppose, as section 28, except it's far more vicious, has partly been reviewed, and I think it's in the process of disappearing off the legislation books in India. But that kind of law came into effect from colonialism. I think it was enacted in 1860 and spread quite a bit in Southeast Asia. The problem is the Moral Trafficking Act, because trans people in Southeast Asia denied jobs very poor and they need to get money and often get involved in sex work. And particularly Hijra are in sex work these days, and I could tell you a lot more about that, but I won't try and say. The methods in Nepal are both ostracized socially and politically, so this prevents them from getting ID cards, renting property, working, and voting rights. So it's completely disenfranchised in many ways. And one of the big problems which we're starting to work on in the UK and get around is that mental health professionals make gender nonconformity a sickness. And I have to say, I was quite disturbed that this even happened in Lockman. And anybody in the health authority in Lockman, who I think is a kid knows that. Some of the problems and challenges. In Pakistan, for example, it's a predominantly Muslim country. Sri Lanka is predominantly Buddhist, India is Hindu, Singapore is Christian, and they all have religious fundamentalists. That's not to say, of course, that all Muslims, Buddhists, Hindus, Christians are prejudiced, but there are certain sects within these country religions that are, in fact, fundamentalists and are quite a problem in terms of sexual rights. South Korea, probably really way of being looking at the testimony is that in South Korea they engaged in a kind of neoliberal economic drive, and human rights don't seem to matter so much. and that's a problem. And one of the things I came across when I was in London the other day is that in the UK and throughout Europe, if you're not satisfied with the treatment you get in the European, in the British courts, we have a right of appeal to the European Court of Human Rights. Not just that there's no Asian equivalent, so if in India you have a problem with the courts, there's no way to go after that. HIV funding is an opportunity, as it was in the UK in the 80s, to do some good work in this area and increase visibility. For example, in Nepal, service provision, political advocacy and human rights have been greatly improved using HIV funding. In India, the debate is whether to socially mobilise or to attack the litigation, and that seems to be getting successful on Section 377. In India, ID cards and employment schemes are needed for Hijra because they are beneficial unemployed guys. There needs to be dialogue with the police on violence reduction, anti-discrimination legislation, and most of all, voting rights. In Sri Lanka, there needs to be a change from political rights. A poor country in the sense that they're just recovering from a series of major wars, and I can understand why political rights are important, but that is where sexual rights and health kind of way down. Indonesia, there needs to be bridge building with the Ministry of Religious Affairs and the training of young inmates, and there are opportunities there to make progress. And just on the last region I wanted to talk about, Latin America, if you became lesbian or bisexual, you'd be aware that they've achieved fantastic things there and got a lot of rights. And that's been brought about largely because of the network of Muslim activists. Brazil, for example, has the largest tribe in the world, and yet it's also got the highest rate of hate crime. It's paradoxical. And police harassment is dreadful, and it's based on laws around morality and good testing. For example, in Honduras, trans people are shot in the street by hand on guns, and it's just can't conceive this in the UK. There's terrible healthcare and education for trans people, and many governments don't permit it to documents. In Latin America, the Catholic and the Evangelical, particularly Pentecostal Church, ally with family values, and then the church plus nationalism equals cultural authenticity. In other words, you can't be a good, say, for example, you can't be a good Welsh Catholic unless you're religious and also you support the government. So you get a quite a horrible combination of, in some of these countries, of unstable governments, the church seeking power, and all in the name of being nationalistic or culturally authentic. There's a need to train monitor state officials. One of the problems is national laws are enacted in the capital cities, but don't take it down into rural areas. That's quite a big problem. Trans letter from the Lesbian Gay Horse, quite frequently, and I'll skip now to the just mentioned the Caribbean, where homophobia is a huge problem, and the results of colonialism, the legacy of colonialism and religion. I'm just finish on this slide. So right across the world is a common problem for underfunding and resourcing, isolation, marginalisation, violence and other shotguns were used in the closing court to make the violence that emanated from the police. There was, one would expect, protection. People go to the police for protection and they get turned by the police and stop beating them. And there's a cultural and religious battleground around sexuality. I don't need to say that, that's not all over it. I need to change the laws, particularly sodomy, public scandal laws, wearing clothes of the opposite sex, sexual laws and police harassment of transgender people. And there's a huge need for the way forward is community build and network. And one final plea. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much.